This morning, I want to talk for just a few minutes. I've titled it, The Cost of Grace. And so how did I get here? Well, I started looking through the Bible, and you know, there are several books in the New Testament that are short books. 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and Philemon, depending on how you pronounce his name. You know, these are really great books because, you know, how often can you go tell somebody, I just read four books of the Bible today? But you know, when a book is only a chapter long, and in a lot of Bibles, some of these are only like a page long, doesn't take long to read a whole book of the Bible. And I think as a result, sometimes we overlook some of these shorter books because they're short, and we go, well, you know, how could this stack up to something that's pages and pages long? And especially I want to be in Philemon this morning. And so this is kind of an interesting book in the Bible because it's one of the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote, but he didn't write it to the church. He wrote it to a specific person about a specific thing going on with that person. And, you know, as a result, you know, we could almost say, well, why is this even included in the Bible, except that it was written by Paul? But why is his personal correspondence in there? And I think the reason is because there's something important for us to learn out of this little short book in the Bible. So let's take a look today and see what it is that we can learn. You know, we live in a divided world today. Anybody notice that? There's constant division, and it seems like we find more and more things to be divided about. Politics is a big division. You know, we got liberals and conservatives and independents and the Green Party and whatever. And it really shouldn't matter which side you lean toward. What should matter is we remember that we're the United States of America. Amen? But it seems that we've gotten to the point where sometimes people get so entrenched in some things that they get really wrapped up into it, and, you know, then we have division. You know, we have racial division in our country. Certainly shouldn't be that way, but it just seems that again, there are a lot of people who look to use that to even bring more division into our nation. And we could probably go on with a list of things that are trying to divide us nowadays. But, you know, interesting enough, this is nothing new. This really goes back, you know, to the beginning of time. And if we look at the Roman world at the time of Christ and the time of the Apostle Paul, we see there was lots of division. And we see that, you know, echoed out throughout the New Testament. And so they had lots of division. There were divisions between men and women. Women didn't have very many rights. There was divisions between slaves and free, between rich and poor, between Jews and Greeks, and between Greeks and barbarians, right? So and the barbarians, by the way, were people who didn't speak Greek. They weren't Conan, the barbarian people. But anybody, if you were either a Jew or a Gentile, And if you were an educated Gentile, then you were a Greek. So if you're an educated Jew, you were still a Jew. If you're an educated Gentile, you were a Greek. If you were an uneducated Gentile, meaning you weren't Jewish and you didn't speak Greek, they called you a barbarian. Lots and lots of division. So all these labels were applied to people. People were divided along all these lines. And in first century Rome, it was pretty much expected that you were to stay in your place. You know, you had your place. If, you know, you were a Jewish male, then you were in this category. If you were a non-Jewish woman who spoke Greek, you were in this category. And, you know, everybody's divided up, and you weren't supposed to mess with this. It was supposed to maintain the order, and people were supposed to just stay right where they were. Well, unfortunately, I guess for the system, Christ came along with the purpose of tearing down all of these divisions. In the church, there should be none of these divisions. Unfortunately, because people still exist, sometimes we have divisions, but there should not be. Ephesians 2:14 tells us, "For Christ himself has brought peace to all of us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people in his own body on the cross. He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. And I believe not only did he break down the wall between Jews and Gentiles, but he broke down any walls that would separate us, whether it be racial, political, on and on and on. Whatever these things are, Christ died on the cross to abolish those. And in the church, we should understand that, and we should strive to do away with these barriers. But of course, the enemy wants to bring division into the church. You know, Christ's desire, if you remember right before he went to the cross, he prayed for unity among his followers. Christ desires that we have unity in the church. When we have unity in the church, we have spiritual power. How does the enemy defeat us? He comes in and he brings in division. And when we as Christians become divided, when we as a church become divided, now we lose the power that we had because we're fighting each other and we're no longer fighting the enemy. And I love the way that Paul puts this in Galatians chapter 3. In verse 28, he says, "There is no longer any Jew or Gentile, no slave or free, no male and no female. You are all one in Christ Jesus." We should all see that because of Christ Jesus, we are all united and we've all become one. But as humans, sometimes we continue to struggle. And certainly in the first century church, they were human and they were struggling. And so Paul's personal letter to Philemon has some important lessons that are dealing with some of those divisions. So what's the letter about? If you haven't read it recently, I'll give you the overview. On one hand, we have Philemon, who was a wealthy member of the Colossian church. On the other hand, we have Onesimus, who was a slave. Onesimus was a slave who belonged to Philemon. And under the Roman, the way things were in early Rome, he was considered to be property of Philemon. And Paul is writing this letter to Philemon about this slave, Onesimus. And it's interesting here, we need to understand, Paul's not condoning or condemning slavery. He's pretty much actually ignoring the whole fact. He's focusing on this division that should not be happening among believers. And so I think if we don't get hung up on the concept of slavery, whether Paul should or should not have condemned it, well, Paul was focusing on something much greater. You know, again, the enemy wants to come in and use these things to bring division. Paul's focusing on the unity. So Paul is writing to Philemon to ask him to allow Onesimus to return. Onesimus had stolen from Philemon. He had stolen from his master. And then he ran away. And he ran away from Colossus, and he went to Rome. And he was not a Christian man at that time. But when he was in Rome, he happened to encounter this fellow named Paul. Paul had been arrested by the Roman government. Paul was imprisoned. He was under house arrest at the time. And had the opportunity to meet with a lot of people. And somehow, we're not told how this came about, but somehow this thieving runaway slave, Onesimus, met Paul. And what did Paul do? Paul shared the gospel with him. Amen? And Onesimus heard the gospel, and he became a follower of Christ. He became what we would call a Christian, because they weren't using that term right then, but he became a Christian, a follower of Christ. And through the ministry of Paul, Paul had convinced Onesimus that he had done wrong and that the right thing would be for him to return back to his rightful place. So Onesimus is convinced, but there's still one problem, and the problem is, what's Philemon going to do if Onesimus comes back? Well, Onesimus, on the other hand, he is a Christian. He's involved in the Colossian church. And obviously knows Paul at a personal level. So Paul writes this personal letter to him. And it's an attempt to reconcile the two, to bring unity back into the body because of this division. And so I'm not going to read the whole book, although it wouldn't take very long to read the whole book. I'm just going to pick out a few verses. Go back and read it. But in verse 8, and by the way, there's no chapters in Philemon, so I can't say chapter 1, verse 8. So it's just verse 8 in Philemon. And verse 8, Paul says, "This is why I am boldly asking a favor of you. I could demand it in the name of Christ because it is the right thing for you to do. But because of our love, I prefer simply to ask you. And I find this interesting. Paul is not making any demands. He's leaving it up to Philip, but he's telling him, you know right from wrong. And because of that, you should do the right thing. But I think that's a reminder that we all know right from wrong. But we also know there is nobody that can force us to reconcile with somebody that we don't want to reconcile with. Have a broken relationship with somebody. If we don't want that relationship restored, doesn't matter how much somebody orders us around to do it, that relationship will not be restored. But Paul was offering up some good advice to Philemon, and I think offering up good advice to us, that we need to desire to restore relationships, not because God says that this is the right thing. We should desire to do it because that pleases God. Amen? Philemon verse 10, Paul went on to say, I appeal to you to show kindness to my child, Onesimus. I became his father in the faith while we were here in prison. And then verse 11, and this is kind of a funny verse here. He says, Onesimus hasn't been of much use to you in the past, but now he is very useful to both of us. So I'm sending him back to you now, and with him comes my own heart. Now, to understand the humor in this statement, you have to understand what the name Onesimus means. And the name Onesimus means useful. So I think Paul chose his words very careful there when he says he hasn't been of much use to you in the past, right? You get the little joke. So Paul had a sense of humor. You just have to know Greek to pick it up, I guess. To say he's not been of much use, I would say that is an understatement. Amen? I mean, he cheated, he stole, he ran away. No, that's not very useful at all. But Paul is encouraging Philemon to bring him back in. Verse 15, he says, it seems Onesimus ran away for a little while so you could have him back forever. He is no longer like a slave to you. He is more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. Isn't that a powerful statement? Paul saying, I want you to see that Christ has changed things. And Paul tells him, he's no longer a slave to you. He once was a slave, but no longer is he a slave, because there is no free, there is no slave. There is no Jew, there is no Gentile, no male, no female. Christ has done away with all of those things. And he's saying, you need to see him in a new light. Sometimes we need to see people in a new light. We need to see them in the light that Christ casts upon them. And Paul is saying, he will mean much more to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. Just a beautiful picture, I think, of what God is doing here in the lives of these two men who have become so divided. And verse 18, and I really love how Paul words this. He says, if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge it to me. Paul's saying, I'll pick up the price. Whatever the price is, I'll pick it up. I'll pay that price. And, you know, when I read that, it makes me think of a couple of things. One, it makes me think of the story of the Good Samaritan when he took the injured man into the inn and he said, look, I'm going to leave him here, and whatever bill he runs up, I'm good for it. I'll come back and I'll pay for it. You just do it. And then I think about how much Christ loved us when he went to the cross to pay the price for us. Amen? Whatever that price was, Jesus said, I will go and I will pay for it. Paul was saying, I'm willing to stand in that same place to bring that reconciliation. Whatever the price is, if he's stolen from you, if he owes you something, I'll pay it. If he's caused damages, I will pay it. You personally let me know, and I will take that responsibility. He no longer is in debt to you at all, because I've paid that price. Paul was asking Philemon to live out the story of the prodigal son. I think we all know that story. And how the prodigal son said, I'll return home and I'll be a servant. But the father said, no, I'm going to receive him back as a son. And here we had a servant who had left. And now Paul's saying, don't receive him back as a servant. receive him back as a brother in Christ. And Paul, in fact, calls him my son. Paul says, receive my son back as a brother in Christ. That's what grace is right there. Sometimes God calls us to do the same, to live out that story of the prodigal son. And you know, we love the idea of grace. I don't think anybody says, I don't like the idea of grace. Because grace is so awesome when it's extended to us. I love the fact that God loved me so much that he sent Jesus on the Christ. Jesus to die on the cross to pay the price for my sins. That I don't owe it anymore. I love the idea that that grace is extended, that I can't get it any other way, that I can only receive it as a free gift that's offered up by Jesus Christ himself. But on the other hand, sometimes I don't like grace so much when I'm asked to extend grace to somebody else. Why? Because grace is difficult. Grace is hard. Grace is costly. In fact, grace is never free. We need to remember that. Grace doesn't mean free. Grace just means somebody else paying the price. And here Paul was offering to step in and pay the price. Although I will tell you, I doubt that he ever sent the bill to Paul. I'm willing to bet that Philemon stepped up and he said, I will pay the price. Because he was reminded of the price that Christ paid for him. But somebody's going to pay the price. Anytime there is grace extended, it means somebody else is paying the price. And when God calls upon us to extend grace, he's calling upon us to pay the price of grace. We can only receive grace from God because Jesus paid that price on the cross. But we need to remember that Jesus said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you have to take up your cross and follow me. What was Jesus saying? He said, there's a price to be paid to being my follower. It doesn't come for free. The grace comes for free. Amen? But the journey doesn't come for free. As we follow Christ, we're going to pay a price. And one of those prices that we're asked to pay is the price of extending grace to those around us. So how do we deal with that person in our lives? How do we deal with our own Onesimus? The person that we trusted, the person that we let get close to us, the person that maybe we loved and had a close relationship with, maybe the person that we never thought they would turn on us, and yet they turned. Well, maybe they didn't steal, but maybe they falsely accused. Maybe they tried to discredit us. Maybe they went out and tried to spread lies and rumors. Maybe they did things that in some way hurt us, brought pain to us. How can we write off that hurt and extend grace? How can we write off that hurt and that pain and receive that person back as a brother or sister? Well, I will say it's not easy. But Paul wasn't asking Philemon to do something that was easy. He was asking him to do something difficult. I think that's the reason he wrote the letter. Because he was asking a very difficult thing. And in fact, I think ultimately it's an impossible thing to do. Apart from the Holy Spirit. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to minister within us. That we might minister to those that have hurt us. You know, this morning, I think we could all say that every one of us has at least one Onesimus in our lives. Somebody that we had a relationship with. And very possibly through no fault of ours, something happened and that relationship was broken. And maybe it became very hurtful and maybe that person departed from our lives and we haven't seen them for some time. You know, people tend to do that. They tend to come, they tend to inflict that pain. And then what do? They do like Onesimus and they run off somewhere else because they don't want to stay and they don't want to deal with it. They prefer to run away. I'm sure we all have an Onesimus in our life. In fact, some of us may have multiple. Some of us may have a long list of people over the years that have brought hurt and pain to us. But I think God is calling us today to be prepared to extend that grace. Were they wrong? Doesn't matter. Did they cause pain and suffering and injury? Doesn't matter. Did they come back and apologize? Doesn't matter. Sometimes God says, you pay the price. You know, quite often we're sitting around saying, well, I'm waiting for them to apologize. They're the ones that did wrong. I'm waiting for them to come back. And when they come back, then I'll decide how I'm going to deal with it. That's not what God's saying to us today. He's saying, you be prepared to deal with it. Don't worry about it. They shouldn't have to pay the price. If they've stolen, they shouldn't have to pay it back. If they've caused injury or harm, they shouldn't have to compensate. We should be prepared to step up and pay that price. Why? Because Christ paid that price for us. Someone in your past that's gone out of their way to make your life difficult. A close relationship that was broken, and maybe even a relationship that was forgotten over time. You know, or in the recent past, I had the opportunity to deal with somebody on my Onesimus list. And sometimes I think my Onesimus list is way too long. But I had somebody to deal with, somebody that that I had a relationship with years ago, hadn't seen for years and years. And the way that we parted, I tell you the truth, I wasn't sure that I had any real interest in picking back up with a relationship. Can anybody relate to that? I'm not saying it's the right way. I'm just telling you the truth. You know, sometimes you look at someone and you say, you know, that was so painful. That was so hurtful to go through. Why would I want to step back up again? You know, my first thought almost was, ignore it and maybe it'll go away. Right? Hadn't dealt with it for years and years and years. Why pick it up and deal with it now? But then that's the flesh speaking. That's not the Holy Spirit. But I think the Holy Spirit has other plans for dealing with people like that. And I don't want to go, nobody would know who I'm talking about even if I told you the name, so it doesn't matter. But I don't need to go into the details. Amen? It doesn't matter what happened or when it happened or who caused it to happen. But I think the important thing is to realize that I think things went very well. I think that, you know, I don't know that the relationship will ever be back the way that it once was. But I don't consider it on my broken relationship list anymore. Amen? You know, not somebody that I would want to avoid because I want to avoid future conflict, because I don't think there's any conflict there. And I think it was only because of the power of the Holy Spirit that I could say, I'm going to set aside these things that happened and just put them on the nail them to the cross. Amen? And leave them there. Don't go rip them back down. Take them to the cross and leave it there. Is it easy? Sometimes, no, it's not easy. You know, there are some people on my list that would be much easier than others. Amen? Some people on my list that would probably be very, very difficult because of the things that have happened. But it shouldn't be impossible. Amen? And so when do we bring about this reconciliation? I think we bring it about when God puts it on our hearts. Amen? But we need to constantly be, and we need to be careful and say, oh, well, I'm going to continue to avoid because I just really haven't felt the Holy Spirit. No, we can ignore the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let's not lie about what the Holy Spirit's doing. Now, the Holy Spirit may direct us to go seek out somebody. Sometimes the Holy Spirit may direct us to hold up for a little bit. Maybe they're doing a work in somebody. Like here was the situation with Onesimus. God was doing a work in his heart. And once God was through doing a work in his heart, now God's calling on Philemon to deal with this reconciliation. So maybe sometimes God will orchestrate that in our lives. But I think the first thing we can do is be prepared to put away that hurt and that pain. Be prepared to pay that price, to reconcile that person back, to not receive them in the same light from when we parted ways, but to receive them back as a brother or sister in Christ. And not worry about, well, if I bring them back in, are they going to do the same thing again? But just be prepared to say, you know, that's behind, and we're starting off with that fresh slate. This morning as we close, I want to ask the question, who is your Onesimus? Because I know everybody here has one. And if you say you don't, I don't believe you. You've got somebody that you've had a broken relationship with. Maybe some of you, somebody you haven't seen them for 5 years. Maybe it's 10 years. Maybe it's 20 years. Maybe it's longer. Amen? But there are people, and for the most part, we've just decided, hey, let's avoid the situation. You know, I've dealt with it, and it didn't turn out well, and so I'm just going to avoid it, and I'll just have nothing further to do with this person. But, you know, especially if they're a brother or sister in Christ, that's not what God desires. And I believe this letter right there tells us what God's desire is. Be prepared to do that reconciliation.